Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to our Tripe Supper Middlesbrough podcast. I'm Dom Shaw and I'm with Anthony Vickers and Jonathan Taylor. And we are talking about Gary Monk, which is probably unexpected. We thought we'd had enough talking about Monk this season. But football being football, the day after his former two sides went ahead, Borough's former manager Aitor Karanka got Steve Cottrell sacked. Monk now gets the job, and his first game, obviously on his 39th birthday, is against Borough. Couldn't make it up, could you?
Small world. I think the situation is that beggars can't be choosers. I don't think anyone in their right mind would accept, you know, would pick Birmingham as the ideal next job. But there's only a limited number of opportunities in football, and you can only wait so long mulling over the jobs that come by. Clearly, he wants to get back in. Clearly, it's a big club, Birmingham, if you can get things right. But also, clearly, there's a lot of problems behind the scenes. It's been a basket case there for several years now. Still a question marks over the ownership issues, their debts and liabilities, whatever money they had, Harry Redknapp spent, as he usually does, leaves the club in a mess. And they're struggling. It wouldn't be an ideal choice for any manager. It's a very, very difficult job that he's got on his hands. The last thing he wanted, would have wanted, was an emotionally charged first meeting against his former club.
Do you know, I guess when you stare deep into the eyes of Massimo Cellino and manage to avoid the chop, then nothing really, you know, you've got nothing to fear in football in terms of championship clubs and taking charge of sides. What will have appealed to Monk about Birmingham? What will have appealed to Birmingham about Monk?
Well, first, you'd expect, it's no surprise that Birmingham have gone for Monk, because look, he's a manager who, yes, he has had a couple of disappointments recently, but the narrative has been over the last few weeks, hasn't it, that when he's been put in front of the BBC and Sky Sports, that, you know, he believes that Borough would have got promoted. And I think everyone outside of Teesside, outside of the bubble here, probably would have looked at the table and Borough being just outside the playoff place and thought the sacking was incredibly harsh. Well, you know, we actually thought that,
particularly
with
the time,
exactly, we thought it was actually a bit prolonged. But so I understand that. I think Gary Monk's stock is still relatively high, which surprises me why he's gone to Birmingham. It was very similar with Aitor Karanka at Forest, albeit I know that Karanka had gone a long time out of the game. But Monk, I mean, this is a manager who, at the beginning of the last, you know, he was talking about, you know, promotion with Leeds, talking about promotion with Borough. He probably was one of the hottest prospects outside of the Premier League, you know, he was seen as. Yet he's 11 games away from being a third-tier manager. I understand that the lure of Birmingham would be that he can take his entire team there, as he has. Obviously, he's got Pep Clotet back and James Beattie and Daryl Flahaven, and everyone's there. It is a big club, as Vic says. They've got, actually, you know, better players than the league table suggests, but still, I think it's an almighty gamble for Gary Monk, because he's got a little bit of kind of a mark on his CV after the way that Leeds collapsed. I think he's got a massive black mark on his CV about what happened at Borough, for those who are in the know up here. He can't afford another disaster, and I think that a team that has now employed five managers in 15 months is a real tough job.
Yeah, it's also, I guess, a gamble on Birmingham's part. Like you say there, I mean, they chew managers up and spit them back out again, and they've not just gave Monk the licence to bring in all his backroom team. They've offered him a 3.5-year deal as well. It's very similar, Vic, to when Tony Mowbray went in at Blackburn this time last year, a big club, or certainly a club that are bigger than where they are in the league, under threat of going down, but also that lure of kind of thinking, well, if I can get these going, and if I can be the one to get them playing again.
Well, that's the way managers always approach a job. You know, like Chris Coleman going to Sunderland, we all thought he needed his bumps felt, but he would have thought, this is a big club, and, you know, you're two wins away from sparking a revival. And as Jono said, I mean, on paper, there's the basis of a decent squad there. In the summer, Harry Redknapp was buying established players, a big name player. I mean, he outbid Borough for Jota, for instance. I think it may be a case that Gary Monk thinks, I've got nothing to lose. If they go down, it's not his fault. He will be able to start from scratch next year with his team in place. He has the security of that 3-year deal. So you can see it ticks all the boxes on that part. But yes, if you go down, no matter how, whatever the mitigating circumstances are, there's still a big black R on your CV. I don't think up to now that people within the game will have held what happened at Leeds against him. Clearly, the club was highly erratic, and he did wonders in the first half of the season. It fizzled out, but then you could argue that the squad was very limited to start with, and he had very little control over what players were coming in. Borough, I think it's harder to explain because Tony Pulis has come in and organised the side that he left behind. And results haven't been dramatically improved, but I think most observers would say they look a more coherent side now, and most people would say they look like they have more chance of getting into the playoffs now. And then you also raise the question over how is it that a manager can come in and get dramatically increased performances out of a handful of players that under Gary Monk were fringe figures.
Yeah, I mean, as we've touched on there, you look at the front three that are likely to play on Tuesday night, Bamford, Downing and Traore. Obviously, none of them started on the opening day. Wolves go further back if Clayton comes in for Leadbitter, hardly featured, played once in a league in the 2 months that led to Monk sacking. Friend was obviously dropped for Fabio. Ryan Shutton didn't get a kick after being signed. So as you've touched on the piece today, John, there's plenty there who are going to want to prove Monk wrong. But then equally, he'll be desperate to prove Borough wrong because he's made it known, hasn't he, in his various interviews and whatnot since that he feels that Borough were on track. Is this with that in mind? Is this the ideal game to get out there and prove and to get a reaction, or is this the last thing he'll want in his first game in charge?
I think he'll say that it's the perfect game for him, and clearly there will be a kind of a burning determination inside of him. But equally, I think if you gave him the option, it's the last game he would have wanted to pick this.
This is Leeds away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's had zero time to get to grips with this Birmingham team. He'll be picking it based on nothing, one training session. And he'll look at Borough, and actually Borough are in decent form at the minute. They won 3 on the bounce at home, haven't they, under Pulis. There are signs of inconsistency a little bit as played Borough all season, but the feel-good factor after the 3-0 win against Leeds, and you're absolutely certain that Gary Monk will have watched that game. And I reckon
there were suggestions that he knew at that point.
Well, exactly. I think Birmingham are hitting Borough at a very bad time, and I think that, as you said, I mean, I know the whole new manager bounce and that kind of theory, but as you say, people inside that Borough, in the Borough ranks, I don't just think they'll want to prove a point. I think there'll be actually like a very, very high degree of, I wouldn't say it goes as far as animosity, but certainly anger and frustration. I mean, if you look at even someone like Stuart Downing, who was told by Monk before he even got on the pitches at Rockcliffe that he was free to leave. I mean, Downing obviously has proven to be a good professional and has got his head down and worked his way back in that team. But that won't have been forgotten in a footballer's brain. Downing will remember that. As you mentioned, you reeled them all off. And I think the problem with Monk is that actually, he, at one time or another, he alienated pretty much half of the Borough dressing room. And that kind of swapping and changing, that all kind of came into the narrative that he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't know his best 11. So yeah, Borough will be absolutely bang up for it. Just very quickly back to the I'm a surprise that Monk took Birmingham, Matt. I mean, if you look at the other jobs that would be coming up, I don't know why Gary Monk has gone there. I mean, if you look at even like an Ipswich or, you know, Aston Villa, if Steve Bruce doesn't get them up this year, or look at the teams that are all going to come down from the Prem, you'd have thought they would have all been much more stable and Gary Monk would have had a good chance at any of them at Birmingham. Big gamble. He has to hit the ground running, doesn't he?
One thing that is worth pointing out at St Andrews, Vic, is a corner tunnel, which makes for difficult scenarios for managers sometimes.
Monk
will be walking out and then back towards the away fans. What sort of reception, what sort of reaction do you think you'll get from the Borough fans?
Well, I mean, it's a strange one really, because I don't think he was here long enough to actually build up any stockpile of animosity. But on the other hand, there's not a lot in the credit column either. So I think on balance, people probably think he's a bad manager, but I don't think he really did anything dramatically to upset Borough. He didn't commit any of the cardinal sins of football. But we also know that football now is there's a kind of pantomime element to it, and there will be people relishing the prospect of booing him. So I think he will get a sticky reception. I did a Twitter poll as to whether people thought he would be booed, and it hovered around about the 70% mark think that he would, although a lot of the comments were to the effect of he probably doesn't deserve it, that's a bit harsh, but that's football. I mean, there will be people that go there, and that could be the only entertainment in the game, let's be honest.
It'll surely be, if there is booing, and I fully expect there to be, but it'd surely be more pantomime than the poisonous type that we saw at Leeds, for example, with Borough there.
Yeah. It's not like he's left Borough to go to a rival.
No, I don't think there'll be any snakes.
Inflatable snake. Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, I don't think he's committed any of the cardinal sins. He hasn't got the club relegated. He hasn't sold a much-loved player. He hasn't had a go at the fans. You know, there's nothing to really give him any kind of traction, you know, with animosity. But on the other hand, there's nothing good that you can point to the Gary Monk and say, oh, well, he gave us really good memories, as you do have with Aitor Karanka, who left under a cloud with the fan base divided, the season unravelling and relegation pretty much a certainty. But Aitor had a lot of good things in the memory bank. Some good football. The playoff season was probably some of the best football we've seen for a decade. Getting promoted. A good sense of identity around the club. So there was three good years and three bad months. So I think when Aitor comes back, he will get a warm reception. Because at the end of the day, you go through your memories, and most of the memories are good ones. Yeah. Gary Monk can't say that. Most of the memories are, well,
meh.
Well, yeah, it's intangible, isn't it? Mm. And in 4 or 5 years' time, we'll look back and we'll say, you know, do you remember that 5 months when Gary Monk was manager? And you'll say, well, no, not really.
There's no mitigation for Monk, I don't think. That's the point. I mean, he had the perfect job. He had it all there. He had all the pieces just to mould however he wanted. He had autonomy. He had money to spend. He had a very good championship squad already assembled. He had the loyal chairman who had to make the decision. But he had everything there. And that's the weird thing, is that under previous managers, I mean, you could kind of make a case of, he had his hands held tied there and this happened. I look back at Gary Monk and I just think, how on earth did he mess that up? And I'll be really intrigued to see what he thinks about it, because he made some fatal errors here, which were, I certainly didn't expect of him, because I thought he was the right man at the time. But it was the indecision, it was the lack of direction, it was the what seemed like a lack of coherent thinking, which was, I still look back now and think that was very surprising.
It'd be interesting to see Pulis and Monk are complete direct opposites in the dugout, aren't they? If you consider that Pulis dives about, and you made the point, didn't you, John, on Friday night, that even at 3-0 up, Pulis was still diving about, screaming out orders, particularly at Traore. Monk, on the other hand, is very much hands sunk in pockets, whether you're winning or losing. I remember at Leeds, I mean, he fronted up, doesn't he? I remember Leeds when he got tortured for 90 minutes, and he never moved from the front of the technical area. Pep Clotet, then, that'll be an interesting one, won't it? Because a fair bit was made of the fact that he didn't come in the summer, and I know he is very highly rated in the game, and he quite fancied himself going into management himself, and he was back to do well, but it didn't work out for him at Oxford. I know it's an only time will tell thing, but it's going to be interesting and fascinating to see how he fares with his right hand man by his side this time.
Yeah, we're getting the band back together. I mean, there was a lot said when he came here by Leeds fans, saying, well, Clotet's the brains behind the operation, and without him, Monk's going to struggle. That may or may not be true. You know, you never know exactly what the complex nature of any of these relationships are. But he may feel that having his right-hand man back makes Birmingham the project, and having his team in place a more viable job for him.
It'll be interesting to see what he says. This was recorded before his press conference, because it was all project, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Borough, but really, when you've got 11 games to keep the club up, you can't think long term project. You've got to think the here and now, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if you look at actually the next kind of 4 or 5 games that Birmingham have got, I mean, they've got some must win games in there. I know they play kind of the likes of Burton at home. I mean, you have to win that game. I'd even probably put Borough in that category, where you probably have to win that game. And no doubt that's why he's actually in the dugout on Tuesday. in an ideal world, he probably would have watched from the stands, wouldn't he? And you would have had time to have a look. But the running is brutal. I mean, I think they have to go to Wolves to play Fulham. If you look at the last five or six games, so he actually is probably working on a six or seven game season where he has to get enough points. So yeah, I mean, you know, all this manager speak of project in the group and the grass. I hope the thing that he's learned from Borough is that that doesn't wash. Albeit, having seen his comments earlier in the month, I'm not entirely sure that he's changed.
Now, in true typical Borough style, it's all set up for the sucker punch, Vic. But yeah, really, you look, and this is a game Borough should win. Birmingham are in dire form. Yeah. Take the subplots to one side. Borough should be good enough to beat the Birmingham side that are desperately struggling for form and results.
Yeah, they should be. They're in good form. The stats this season show quite clearly that they have an incredible record against the bottom six, bottom eight clubs.
The best in the division.
Absolutely,
4 points, haven't they?
Borough's failings this season has been beating the teams above them. So we know that on form, everything points for this to be a fairly easy win. But that's not how football works. We know that Birmingham players might all be now suddenly looking over their shoulder and fighting for their places. They've got to impress the new boss. These things don't really have any real substance to them, but Borough have got a really poor record at Birmingham. We've been there and we've seen them being two up and throw it away through self-inflicted wounds and moments of madness. And I mean, there was one occasion they were totally dominating a game and 2-1 up, and then BK gave a penalty away
on the box,
just before half time. And you just think, well, you know, that's a game where Borough could have been 4-5 up quite easily. And then, you know, somehow you think, well, how the hell did we lose that? So we haven't got a great record there. I'm sure that doesn't play into the minds of the players. They don't know that. Obviously, long-time fans will be getting a bit jittery about it. But I think all the stats show that this Borough team are, you know, the phrase has been used all season, flat-track bullies. They should be able to go to Birmingham and should batter them. That's not how football works. You know, it's the proof of the pudding is always in the eating. It's not just about Gary Monk. You know, Borough have a massive incentive in front of them now. The top six is there for them. Yeah, if they can keep up their recent form, we know that Derby are wobbling, Bristol City are wobbling. There's a good scrap on now for that final playoff place, possibly two playoff places, and Borough know they have to deliver.
Yeah, just talk about that. I mean, Bristol City are at Preston, aren't they, tomorrow night? Sheffield United are at Fulham. Fulham look absolutely unstoppable at the minute, particularly with Mitrovic and Sessegnon in the current form. They both scored at the weekend. In the last few weeks, it has looked like that one spot, but suddenly it does look like two, and that could become three, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks' time. But right now, Derby look to be going in one direction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think they've got QPR away and Nottingham Forest away as the next two, and I'm sure that Aitor will love to win that kind of Midlands Derby as well. So it is surprising, isn't it? And it's this time in the season, really, where it's all make or break, isn't it? And the teams that start dropping points alarmingly will slide, and the teams that, you know, are just below the playoff places, if they can put a run together, they will very quickly catapult them into the top six. I get the impression, and I don't want to speak too soon, that it seems like Borough are just starting to hit a level of consistency at the right time. And I know that, look, there's obviously blips, you know, along the way at that, but when Borough are losing games, I don't think that they're being totally outplayed by anyone. They held Leeds at arm's length very comfortably on Friday night, who were a team who had promotion aspirations of their own. So, you know, we've been debating in the office whether we think Pulis's Borough was more equipped to go up than what Monk's Borough was, and I think it's an obvious yes, because I think this Borough team, you know, they're not losing games, not getting outclassed. I think that they're a far better team than Monk's Borough ever were,
and yet they still struggle to beat the teams up and above and around them.
Yeah,
Fulham, Villa, Cardiff, that's been the stumbling block for Tony Pulis in building any momentum, and they've still yet to put together a really good run of wins. You know, we've talked all season about needing to win
this
four
week
out of six or whatever, but they haven't done that. They went to Sunderland and dropped points, hot on the heels of losing at Cardiff. So, you know, you've still got to find the momentum. We're briefly in the top six, and then the results swing against you the following day. And you know, you have to make a sustained push into that playoff place. It's no good scrapping around sixth and, you know, needing other teams' results to determine where you are. At some point, if Borough want to be promoted, they have to put a run together of wins.
When Monk comes up against Borough on Tuesday, he's going to come up against a team that's changed dramatically when you consider that he only left, 6 weeks or so ago, and who are built around now two or three players from defence in Ryan Shotton, and the fact he has a key role in the game plan, to obviously the forward line as Arbitrary and Patrick Bamford, two or three players who were absolutely nowhere under Monk. It could threaten to leave him with egg on his face, couldn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's what they'll say about most managers that come up against their own team, isn't it? Is that they know them inside out, they know their strengths and their weaknesses. But the transformation, I think, certainly in terms of style, and it's been massive over the last two or three months. I mean, if you look at what kind of Borough under Monk and the strongest parts of that system, it was probably Cyrus Christie at right back who's gone. Martin Braithwaite and Britta Sombalonga, and you know, Britta Sombalonga's nowhere near the team. Martin Braithwaite's gone. I think that the more it was interesting listening to Paul Heckingbottom, wasn't it, talking about Borough, and he said that while results haven't markedly improved under Pulis, he feels that Borough are more consistent, the results are less erratic, you more or less know what you're going to get in terms of a level of performance, and I think you're spot on there. Personally, I think you can expect to, you have more of an idea what you're going to get with Borough at Birmingham tomorrow night than if Monk took Borough to Birmingham.
Well, two very different styles. I mean, under Gary Monk, the width would come from attacking fullbacks, and that brought positives in terms of getting extra bodies forward and putting crosses in. We know they were creating a lot of chances under Gary Monk. But it also left weaknesses, the vulnerability in that area behind the attacking fullbacks. Borough were always fragile to counter attacks and crosses to the far post, and they were the stumbling blocks. And a lot of what we might think of as ordinary teams took advantage of that. I mean, Leeds, Millwall, Bristol City, not outstanding teams, but were devastating in exploiting those areas. Tony Pulis has tightened that up. That space behind the fullbacks doesn't really exist anymore. The back four's a lot more solid. There's not so much width. They're playing a different way up front. It's a very, very different style. It's arguably more effective in that you're not exposed during games. They're not leaking so many goals, although they have been a bit sloppy at set plays over the last two or three weeks. It's a tried and tested method of getting out of this division. A lot of teams that go up from this division play functional, limited in scope style and look to make it very effective. It's quite hard to play attacking football and get out of this division, because to play attacking football, you need good players to make it work properly. And it's very hard to get those players in the Championship because they're very expensive, and if they're good players who play technically gifted footballers, most of them are in the Premier League. So it's quite hard to play attacking football, and there's always a problem in sustaining that. Gary Monk's.
Wolves and Fulham have both evidenced that you can do it.
You can do it, yeah. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying it's very difficult to do it because you need to have a good group of players, technically gifted players, and it's expensive. And it's not always, you know, there's no magic formula for it.
Well, I know I'm a stuck prick over this, but I maintain Monk tried to be something he's not at Borough. I mean, you look at Leeds, when he went close with Leeds, they were very solid defensively. They didn't score all that many goals. I think he came in at Borough, and perhaps under a bit of pressure from the old pace and flair statement and the investment in all the attackers in the summer, I think he tried to build, you know, without going over all ground. We know he changed tactics the week before the start of the season, and he never really nailed down a system that he wanted with. But I wonder whether, you know, if you look at Swansea and you look at Leeds and now you look at Birmingham, expectations weren't low because, you know, I think Birmingham do have that big club element about them. And I've seen fans respond on Twitter saying that it's the most excited they've been about a manager in a fair old while. So they're clearly already expecting certain things of Gary Monk. But I think Borough are the only time where he's gone in and he's really expected to take a team or to take a league by storm. At Swansea, he knew the club inside out and there was an element of just building on what was there. At Leeds, I kind of feel like he was in an all-lose situation. It's a bit similar to Coleman at Sunderland now, isn't it? If he goes down, it's the club that got relegated, not the manager. So he might well, you know, for all he talks about projects and the whole long-term thinking, he might well be good at going in and getting the best out of underachieving players. I mean, you look at Jota, for example, was a player who was desperate to sign in the summer. Birmingham were much fancied for players in the summer. Harry Redknapp was adamant, wasn't he, that come the end of the window he'll have a team that'll be there in the top six. So there's clearly the makings of a good team there. But it's that what succeeds in the Championship, because, you know, I looked at Sunderland's squad and you think, I know it's not a great squad, but they shouldn't really be down there where they are. I was talking to Phil Buckingham of the Hull Daily Mail, and he was saying, you know, Hull on any given day can beat anyone in the league, so you wonder where they are. Birmingham are the same, so reputations count for absolutely nothing, do they, in this division?
It's the getting the balance, the chemistry right to make a team is the most difficult thing in football. You know, you can buy a handful of players and throw them together, but you're not necessarily going to get results. And, you know, we just need to look at Boroughs at the start of the season. Everybody, not just people like us, you know, close to it and maybe swept away by some of the hype. All the pundits, all the press, all said this was the strongest team in the Championship. Mm. And on paper, you look down at it and you think, well, you know, he's a good player, he's good, that's quality, experience, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a good squad. And yet somehow, mysteriously, it didn't click, and we spent the first 6 months of the season waiting for this mythical click. And that happens at dozens of clubs, where the manager puts together what he thinks is a good balance of youth and experience, pace and stability, yet it doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't happen. Now, the intangibles that go around a team, things like, you know, team spirit and endeavour and people all busting the gut for each other, you know, you can't coach that sometimes. It's whether the blend is right, and sometimes it's just circumstance. You know, had Borough got off to a flying start and won the first three, you might have had a different scenario, because people start to believe in it. They believe in the manager, they believe in the coaching drills, they believe that they have the ability to win. If you get off to a bad start, even the best team, doubts creep in, maybe people start not trusting some of their teammates, and as soon as that happens, you're not getting more than the sum of the parts, which is, and that's the magic trick in management.
Will he keep him up?
I'm not convinced. I mean, he's got no transfer window to go at. He's got a squad of players that he's got them all together, and I mean, you're going to have to rely on some seriously good man management skills that we just never saw at Borough. I mean, if you get to hear the noises and hear what the players are saying now, and they just seem to be muddled was the word. His message wasn't getting across. Some of his decisions were erratic. Players, you know, players like security, they're human beings like anyone else. And to go from in the 11 to, you know, out in the wilderness for 3 months, so seemingly overnight. I mean, case in point, Adam Clayton, for example. That sends kind of the willies up everyone. I think that was probably one of the biggest flaws of Gary Monk's reign at Borough, was that I expected, given that he'd just come out of a dressing room, he was a leader in the dressing room as a player, that he would be able to be that leader as a manager. But I think there's serious question marks next to his man management skills at Borough, which if he doesn't reverse and kind of change tack and learn very quickly at Birmingham, I think he's taking charge of a demoralised dressing room that could, you know, it'll take a lot of turning around. I'm still backing them to go down, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's irrelevant to what he does. I think the dynamics at that club are downwards. I think if they get dragged down by football gravity, that's because of 2 or 3 years of chaos as much as anything that he does. I think it comes down to other teams being equally inept, you know, equally in trouble. I mean, Sunderland, I can't see them putting a revival together. Hull, they look like a basket case. It could come down to one or two results. The match against Burton, for instance, could be pivotal.
Yeah, well, you look at a Burton, and what you like about Burton is they know what they are, and they know the limitations, and
they know they can't win at home.
And they know they can't win at home, but they have a chance of beating anyone away from home. Like, they are comfortable in their own skin, and I guess that's what I think Monk's Borough certainly weren't, and he's going to have to get that drilled into the Birmingham players pretty quickly. I mean, even you say Hull, I mean, to be fair, I think the mood around Hull is improved slightly under Atkins. Obviously, they beat Friday night beat someone in the top six recently. I watched it. It was a terrible match, to be fair.
Sheffield United.
Might have been Sheffield United, yeah. Birmingham, I think it's a real unknown quantity. I just look at the squad. I think he's got a big task, and I just don't Personally, I just have no idea why he's taking that job rather than wait out a couple of more months, see who come down from the Premier League. You know, you could have a West Brom, you could have Newcastle or Southampton. All of these teams going down will be probably looking for a Championship manager. Ipswich, potentially, if McCarthy leaves. It seemed like Monk's jumped at the first one, and you know, if he does go down, I think that it would be another question mark on his CV. I think he would have to take some responsibility, certainly.
Excellent, thanks fellas. So it's Birmingham St Andrews on Tuesday night, where Borough will hopefully keep Lukas Djukovic under wraps in 90 minutes. Thank you.